Revenue Chat episode 151. Hey guys, Tony D'Urso here, and I have to say thank you. Thanks a million downloads that is. Go to TonyDURSO.com/TV and read all about the exciting next adventure we have in store for you. That's TonyDURSO.com/TV. And once again, thanks a million.
This is Revenue Chat Radio with your host, Tony D'Urso, interviewing successful entrepreneurs and giving you actionable advice and insights. Let's rev it up.
Welcome to this episode of Revenue Chat. I'm your host, Tony D'Urso. And yes, I am going on television in the near future as Revenue Chat TV. And I'll be broadcasting over many platforms such as Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Roku, the Voice America TV Network, and others. My show format's going to change a little bit as I ask guests to help solve current business and marketplace issues. But regardless of any adjustments, you continue to get experts in their field who share their knowledge with you, the Revenue Crew audience. And when it goes live, you'll see them on my mobile app at TonyDURSO.com/mobile. Download that now and you'll see and hear my other weekly talk shows. Column 1 is The Spotlight, which focuses on high-profile celebrities who give great insight on their journey to success. You get good advice and information that you can use in your life and business. And Column 2 is my Revenue Chat radio podcasts, such as this show you're listening to now. When the TV show comes on, you'll catch it on this app, so please go ahead and download it at TonyDURSO.com/mobile. All right, Revenue Crew, let's rev it up. Here we go. Today we set the stage for Revenue Chat with Vitaly Golem, accelerating your startup. And here's some facts about Vitaly. He's a venture capitalist, serial entrepreneur, keynote speaker, and author of Accelerated Startup. A former founding partner at HP Tech Ventures, which is the corporate venture arm of Silicon Valley's original startup, he's now currently managing director and global head of principal investments at IEG Investment Banking Group. He's a contributing writer to TechCrunch, and he's a top-ranked mentor at a number of startup accelerator programs. That's a great list of accomplishments there. Hello, Vitaly. Welcome to Revenue Chat.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure indeed. The honor is mine. And I'm glad that we got together finally. I know we've tried a couple times, so here we are. I'm so interested to find out about what you do to accelerate startups, of course, because my primary audience are solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, startups, small businesses. So this is very good. And I want to ask you first, what made you get into mentoring startup accelerator programs?
Well, so I got into startup world at a very young age. My family immigrated from the former Soviet Union, from Odessa, Ukraine, when I was 8 years old. I grew up in San Francisco and then in Silicon Valley, went to the same high school as Steve Jobs in Bozniak and Cupertino, and was really thrown into it at a very young age. At age of 11 or 12, I was running BBSs on my home computer with people dialing in pre-internet days. And the bug bit really early. So I've really been doing this my entire career since I was, let's say, 13 or 14 years old. When I later in college days started running my own companies, you know, I was already a little bit of a veteran. I went through the dot-com days when I wasn't old enough to drink. So I always had to make excuses where I couldn't go to the bar with my team after work. And, you know, I built up a big bank of experience in this world. And my last company, before I went to the dark side, as it were, to the investment side, took me to building an engineering office in Ukraine. and traveling quite a bit back and forth between Silicon Valley and Ukraine, and getting exposed to a lot of different accelerator programs and being asked to help out. So one thing led to another. Had friends that ran accelerators ask me to be a mentor. And for the last 6 or 7 years, I went through being a mentor in about 11 different programs. And what I noticed is, you know, a lot of the same problems, similar attitudes, similar headaches with entrepreneurs around the world. And I've been very active in US, Europe, and in Southeast Asia and China. And that actually led me to write the book. So I kind of fell into it. I guess I'm pretty good at breaking down complex problems and imparting some experience on the next generation of entrepreneurs. And it's really satisfying to help out these guys and gals and watch them blossom into great companies.
I got you totally on that. Very impressive. And I am very amazed at what you've been through. For our audience out there, you got to check out his TED Talk in San Francisco and learn more about what he's been through. Talk about hardship and adversity and everything else. He's been through it and he's pulled through. So you are very, very qualified, extra qualified to talk about startups and accelerating startups. And that goes right into the next question. How do you accelerate a startup?
Well, you know, let's define what a startup is. You know, so not every new business is a startup. That it's a little bit of a misnomer because it has the word start in it. Everybody thinks that, you know, they started a business and it's all of a sudden a startup. Startups are fundamentally different kind of business where you are using newly available technology that wasn't available a year ago, or especially 5 or 10 years ago, or a new business model that opened up, to solve a problem in a fundamentally disruptive way. That means you're doing something 10 times faster, better, cheaper, and you have this hypothesis. So by definition, you're doing something net new that nobody's ever done before, and there is no there's no roadmap, and it's very difficult. So you have to bank up experience that's somewhat ancillary to what you exactly that you're doing. And this is where mentoring comes into place, because you know, you can talk to a bunch of different people that have done various parts of that type of business. Let's say you're starting a new hardware company or a new software as a service company, or a new social network or B2B or enterprise software. You're going to want to talk to and compare notes with people that have been there, have done those kind of businesses, have made the mistakes, and learn from their mistakes instead of on your own. So that's, you know, that's really what I mean by this is, you know, you're going out there into the wilderness without a map, and, you know, it's just going to take you a long time. And that's your non-refundable, non-renewable resource, right? You're going to be losing a lot of time and making mistakes, and it's cost you money, and you may run out of money because of that. So you have to find a way to learn through others and through other means to make fewer mistakes and get closer to your goal.
I totally see that. And I'm going to ask more about your book shortly. However, I want to address one thing. When we talk about accelerating a startup, I can just see the minds of the Revenue Crew audience thinking, well, you know, well, the way to accelerate a startup is to throw money at it. Though I don't think so. I don't think that's the only way to accelerate a startup. Though, yes, money is needed to fuel the fire, keep the train and the locomotive going on the track. What other things do you see as important that you can bring to the table in terms of helping out a startup to really become successful?
Well, if you're going in the wrong direction, more money is not going to solve your problem. It's going to postpone the inevitable. And the inevitable is failure. And actually, you know, again and again, you can see studies, you can see statistics. Having constrained resources will actually make you a more disciplined entrepreneur and make you make better decisions, right? So, you know, kind of counterintuitively, adding more money to the fire is really not the way to succeed. There are plenty of stories of companies that are overfunded and then they end up wasting that money and going the wrong direction. What's important is to really think about and be very strategic about the steps that you take. You know, startups also have a very unique funding structure, and is basically milestone-based or stage-based. So that means that you have to, you know, think of it kind of like as a video game. You have to beat the boss on each level to go to the next level. And if you don't hit your milestones for any particular stage of your startup, and it's stage-based financing, you will not progress to the next level. You simply won't have the investors picking up the slack at the next level. So if you really break it down, you have different stages within a startup journey, and really the kind of three general areas, and then they break down further. So the first area would be the true startup period, where you're trying to figure out very quickly and get to what's called a product market fit. You're trying to find a customer for whom you're solving a very valuable problem. It's not a nice to have, it's a must have. And it becomes, you know, if you have a product market fit, that means the product almost sells itself, right? The customers are glad to pay for it. You kind of hit it on the head. You know who to sell it to, how to sell it, and what to sell it for. That allows you to then get into what I consider the most fun part of the journey, which is a transition. And that's where you scale very quickly from 10 or 20 employees to about 150. You start realizing what business you are in, and you start building management structure around that business. So then when you're around 150 people, you have people with some gray hair that have done this particular business, that know this industry well, involved, and you're really starting to scale predictably, then you graduate and become a company. So that's really something important to think about, because you see a lot of people that are walking around conferences and going to different events year in, year out. It's the same two-person company doing the same thing very, very slowly. They're not really doing what they're supposed to be doing. The goal here is to graduate to the next stage and become a company as quickly as possible and not burn too much cash. So when you kind of break that down a little bit further, as far as how financing works, you know, when you have an idea or concept and you have some kind of beginning of a team that's, you know, kind of believable that they can solve that problem, they have the technical chops, they have the business understanding of that particular industry, then you can go raise seed capital, right? When you have some kind of proof of concept, you have some first sales, some first revenue, you're showing that you can get positive unit economics. That means that you're making money on every customer, not losing money. Then you can go raise Series A. And when you really start showing that you're scaling and you're able to drive this business and it's predictable, for every dollar in marketing you put in, you get a dollar and at least 1 cent out in revenues, then you can go raise Series B, and you kind of do this on and on and on at different scale until you IPO. So that's kind of the textbook version of a startup. You're not going to go through this process when you're doing a traditional business. You're not going to do this same staged financing for a consulting company or a restaurant or a hotel. It's a completely different curve, right? So that's really kind of the right framework to think about this business, is that you're doing a science experiment. You have this hypothesis on this particular business, and you want to prove that hypothesis as quickly as possible. You know, listen to the market, listen to your customers, let them tell you with their dollars and with their attention, what it is that you're doing for them and what's the most attractive. You know, tweak your product and get to something that's really sellable and compelling to your customer base. So that's really the journey. And it takes incredible discipline and focus. And that's something that first-time entrepreneurs really struggle with, because there's so many shiny objects all over the place that they get distracted and get slowed down. So I would think of it that way.
Hi, Tony here with a quick word about getting you discovered. Do you want a lot of people checking out your sales page, your branding page, your podcast? Like many people, are you just trying to do it all yourself? Or maybe get by with a virtual assistant or two? Are you taking webinars, seminars, and workshops to learn how to grow your social media and how to bring visitors to your site? Or are you downloading free ebooks, buying classes, doing this and that just to learn how to get more sales, more people, more exposure? We all do. And it isn't all that it's cracked up to be for some, is it? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort. It takes a lot of training. I've written books on this, and I'm helping others get a lot of visitors to their web pages and podcasts. And I mean thousands and thousands every month. Check it out. Go to tonydurso.com/grow. That's tonydurso.com/grow. G-R-O-W, tonydurso.com/grow, and get discovered. Hey guys, if you sometimes wonder how to get funding for your startup or even to keep your small business rolling, I've got a great answer. Cabbage. Yes, Cabbage, with a K, has the answer. Cabbage helps small business owners access simple and flexible funding right away without the headaches that come with applying for a traditional loan. And you can apply now online or from your phone by securely linking your business information to get an automatic decision. Once you're approved, you choose when to use your funds and how much to take. You only have to pay for the funds you actually use. I like that. Visit cabbage.com/revenuechat. There's no cost to apply or set up your line of credit. As a Revenue Chat listener, when you qualify for funding, you'll get a $50 Visa gift card you can use anywhere, even if you want to buy some of my books. Okay, just kidding. Well, kind of. That's Cabbage with a K. KABBAGE.com/revenuechat. You'll remember that K, right? Cabbage.com/revenuechat. Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions. All Cabbage business loans are issued by Celtic Bank, a Utah chartered industrial bank, member FDIC. And we're back with Vitaly Golem, who tells us about accelerating your startup. For our Revenue Crew audience, what I'd like to do is we may have some people in the audience that are thinking about getting some investors, bringing in some capital. Can you kind of give an overview? What makes a startup special? What is something that is attractive and would be a win-win for a venture capitalist?
Well, every new industry. So let me step back for a second. Venture capitalists get accused of being very thematic and kind of hype-driven, and there's a really important reason behind that. When you have a new technology that comes out of research, let's say graduates out of university research after many years, or out of research at a big company, out of R&D labs, you have a technology that's then ready to be commercialized. And that's when you take an invention and you turn it into a business. You try to make a product that's relevant to somebody. If you hit on something, or we have kind of a new curve, like, for example, how blockchain is really taking off right now as a new curve, like internet did 20 years ago, you have a limited amount of time, maybe 3 to 5 years, for these startup ideas to graduate and become enterprises. So there's going to be a race there. Right. So whatever, if you're doing something that's worth doing, you're going to have many capable, very smart, very well funded, you can assume, competitors. And when you're going out there for money, you have to understand the market that you're playing in, your position in it, and you have to build a very strong team and a really unique, defensible, compelling proposition that's based on technology that is newly available, because then you're starting at the same point as everybody else. You're not playing catch up. And you put together, value proposition. When I'm listening to a founder, an entrepreneur pitching their startup, I have two questions that I've learned to ask. Who's the customer and what's the problem, right? They really need to get to those answers as quickly as possible. And if you really think about that, any new technology or an invention that comes out of university or an inventor, they will say, oh, this can do so many different things, and it can solve, world peace and world hunger and cure cancer and everything else. But reality is you have to focus and figure out the first thing you're going to do, analyze that business, understand the unit economics of that business, and have some kind of a hypothesis of how you're going to sell it, how are you going to grow this company, and how within, let's say 5 years from start, you can grow into a 100 million or 300 million or a billion revenue company. Right, we're not talking about slowly growing and doing a couple of million a year in 5 years. That's a lifestyle business. We're talking about getting to hundreds of millions of revenue in a few years, and you can only do that with a newly available market. Right, so that's really what I would focus on first and foremost.
I got you. Makes perfect sense, and I truly appreciate that. Let's take this into the entrepreneur world a little bit. You mentor entrepreneurs, you help businesses. Let's talk about what they need to get going. And perhaps let's also talk about some of the big mistakes you see many entrepreneurs make.
Well, what they need to get going, just kind of rehashing a little bit of what I was talking about, they need to focus on several things. They need to be able to articulate their market that they're going after. That market needs to be fast growing. and they need to have some kind of a unique value proposition there or some kind of defensible technology. Maybe they have a patent on something that they're able to use, something, some kind of moat that is not, that makes their business not easily repeatable. And then ultimately, at the early stages especially, you just have basically an idea, maybe some IP, some intellectual property, and you have a team. And the most important by far is the team. You know, who is going to do this? Do I believe that they can do this? Or is it going to be some other team out of some other university or some other team that sold their last startup for $1 billion that has all this experience and connections? All right, so that's really the decision factors. Some of the common mistakes, you know, the number one mistake, as you'll see in all of the surveys for failed startups, is premature scale. And what that means is really kind of losing focus and trying to, you know, focus on the wrong areas of your business, you know, going and getting a fancy office and spending time picking out furniture and hiring people just to hire people when you haven't really figured out what business you are in. So you really have to go step by step. It's really much closer to the scientific method of proving your hypothesis than it is to building, you know, a little enterprise that you'll do later when you figure out what business you're in. So, it, you know, this focus, focus on the region that you know, focus on the customers. Don't let the customers distract you and turn you into a consulting company. Focus on your product. Take the feedback. Don't wait too long. Get it out there and really just go talk to people. Go talk to your customers or potential customers as quickly as possible. Validate, validate, validate. And don't think that you are the smartest person in the world. Even if you're right, your customers are the ones making the purchasing decisions. And if you don't emotionally appeal to them, and I've made this mistake with my previous company, right? We made the product that's too complex. And for our audience, their desires, their needs were much simpler than we expected. So that's what I would say is just, you know, really the key word is focus, as cliche as it is, you know, as you get more known in the industry, as you get more successful, there are going to be more and more distractions coming your way, which will try to derail you. But you have to stay on mission and time to time pivot and decide that maybe you need to change your mission. But you have to be in charge of your of the fate of your company.
That makes very good sense. And I totally agree on the distractions. You kind of have to sometimes run your business with blinders on, because the distractions, all they do is just take time and not necessarily lead to a product or a better company or a better service. Definitely takes a good skill in knowing how to deal with that. So I do appreciate you sharing some of those mistakes. Now I'd like to know a little bit more about your great book, Accelerated Startup. Can you give us a little talk on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Accelerated Startup, as I mentioned, I've gone around the world several times. I've been to 60 countries and do about maybe around 20 a year on average these days. And I see the same questions being asked. I see the same problems, different languages, different cultural backgrounds. But really, the startup thing is hard for everybody. I've synthesized all those questions all these years and hundreds or thousands of hours that I spent. And I put that into a well-organized book that I believe will give you just about everything you need to know, at least to make a decision if you want to do this startup thing, on how to take your idea and make a product out of it and then turn that into a company, which includes developing the startup idea, finding co-founders, building a team, pitching the startup like a pro to investors, which is a very important presentation skill, and getting into the top accelerator programs, which can essentially make it or break it for you sometimes if you get into something like Y Combinator. Getting the press to give you attention, finding angel and venture capital investors later on. And a big chunk of the book is on marketing and getting to your first 10,000 customers. So really, it's kind of going through that journey. And the book came out just about a year ago in hardcover in the US. And since then, we've added an audiobook. There will be a paperback version that comes out by the time the show is out as well, available on Amazon. Of course, there's an ebook on Amazon, on Kindle, and on iBooks. And we're now working on international versions and translations. And been very well received in last year. I've had lots of folks come to me and told me that they think I've saved them a year or two of pain and suffering, those first year or two. Where, you know, it could be very critical, which is, you know, if you're really hitting the wall, you're going to get demotivated and quit. But if you have some guidance, some pointers, and some kind of normalization of what to expect and what's normal and typical and how it all works, then you're going to be more confident in pursuing your idea. So a book is called Accelerated Startup, appropriately enough. And happy to share it with everybody in the world. And so far, getting great reviews on Amazon.
Very, very good. Accelerated Startup. So we just go to Amazon and we can find it there, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, great, great, great. And as a fellow author, I totally know what it means to get a book out there and have people like it and actually have it help people and receive that feedback. It's so heartwarming. So kudos to you, and I wish you much, much success on that book.
Thank you very much.
Very welcome. Now, Vitaly, I'd like to talk about purpose. I'd love to know, what's the personal drive and motivation that's behind what you do?
Well, that's a big, big question. So I'm a big believer that entrepreneurship is something that can really change the world in a fundamental way. If you look at, around the world, in the U.S., we're obviously a little bit spoiled. Everything has been okay here for a long, long time, despite our political issues time to time. But, if you compare it to other parts of the world where unemployment and youth unemployment is very, very high, you don't have to look far. In Mexico, somebody can choose to work for the cartel because they can never make that kind of money in the traditional business, but they can if they start a technology company. Same thing in the Middle East, same thing in Southeast Asia, where technology has an effect where it can take people out of poverty, and anybody can write code anywhere in the world. It's much easier to start a startup anywhere in the world now than it was even in Silicon Valley in 1999. You don't need $5 million to start a company and get your idea off the ground. You barely need anything at all. And my goal is to influence and help as many entrepreneurs around the world as possible, encourage them to start companies. And that's my way of making a positive dent in the world and the economy, is by encouraging people to focus on something really positive instead of getting pulled into something that they don't have a choice but to do.
I love it, Vitaly. Great purpose and goal there, and I'm totally with you on that. Absolutely. It's so much fun to help people. I just love it.
Absolutely. It's a great feeling, I can tell you. If I go on stage at a big event and I meet somebody there a year or two after the fact, and they come up to me and tell me, your speech a couple of years ago encouraged me to start my own company, and now we got into, I've had companies out of Europe, Eastern Europe, tell me they got into Y Combinator and moved to Silicon Valley and pursuing their dreams. It's incredibly satisfying to know that you made a positive effect on somebody's life.
Very remarkable indeed. Very much so. Once again, Vitaly Golem, Accelerating Your Startup. And again, his website is golem.net, which is G-O-L-O-M, as in Mary B, G-O-L-O-M-B.net. Thank you so much, Vitaly. It was great. I loved having you on.
Thank you, Tony. It was great.
Excellent. Well, all right. And thank you, everyone. And stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. If you like this interview with Vitaly, would you kindly give me a review on iTunes? It's the purple icon on your Apple device. A sentence or two is just fine. Thanks in advance. And our next episode is with Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answers Man. Some facts about Jordan. He's well known as America's Money Answers Man. He's host of the Money Answers radio show. He's written 13 books on financial topics, including The Dictionary of Finance and Investment Terms, Fast Profits in Hard Times, and Master Your Debt. He was the Wall Street correspondent at Money Magazine for 18 years. And he's a frequent guest on radio and TV shows across America, such as The Spotlight with Tony D'Urso and Revenue Chat. Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answers Man, is on the next episode of Revenue Chat. All right. Thanks again, everyone. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.